Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you to our digital listeners for tuning in today. We are back in Matthew chapter 10. So we're going to go ahead and turn there. And while we turn there, let me give you a little synopsis of where we're at. Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples to the lost sheep of Israel, specifically to cities that have Jews that have not accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Now, these were areas that the people were educated about Jesus. They knew what God's law had said about the coming Messiah and were waiting for him to arrive. So the arrival of the disciples should have been both expected and welcomed. Now, before we continue today, I must ask you, what is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to glorify God. And if you've been listening through our series or you've been coming and sitting in as we've been having our worship services together, you'll recognize that I've been continually asking this question. And it's a vital question to ask for the Christian life because we all have a responsibility, and our responsibility is to bring glory to the Lord. And there are so many different ways that we can bring glory to the Lord. But it's important for us to ask this question and to recognize that my whole purpose for my existence in this life is to bring God glory, and then to consider what that looks like. Well, we're going to continue in our text, and we're going to get back to this, bringing glory to the Lord, in just a few moments. Now, in our text, we are at the point where Jesus is warning his disciples of what they may encounter, and helping them to see that they needed to not just change how they approach the situation, but to change their character and their whole outlook about what was in front of them. Now, let's start in verse 16 for context here of Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." So Jesus tells his disciples to be aware that not all men are going to be out to do the best for them, okay? Not all of them are going to be helpful. Not all will be even interested in getting the word out about the Messiah. In fact, some of them will purposely try to prevent them from doing what they have been sent to do. And some will take them before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers of that time. Others will even take them before the Romans to the civil court and have them tried for spreading lies and malicious gossip. Now, I want to think about this. Specifically, I want us to think this way, because Jesus is not seeing this as a penalty against them. Understand, as he's speaking to them, he's not seeing this as a penalty against them, but as an opportunity. Now, they will have the opportunity to go before governors and kings and tell them about Jesus, the Messiah. An opportunity that if they had petitioned to have an audience to give a testimony or a speech like this, they never would have received. I mean, think about it today. Let's say that you want to go before a governor and give him the gospel. You can sign up for it. You can try to reach out to his secretary and so on, but you're going to have a long list of people to wait to get through and then see whether or not you can even talk to him. This is an incredible opportunity because they are being pushed to the very front of the line to be able to see these governors and kings and rulers and so on, simply because they are called out for doing something wicked when actually they're doing something good. They have an incredible opportunity to share Christ. Now, I believe that thinking about their opportunity, it gives us a better perspective of how God views his people being taken even through courts or before the rulers of the day. And think about it. Paul was chained in prison or on house arrest, and this allowed for such an opportunity for the Roman soldiers and other Roman leaders to be influenced by the gospel of Christ. And when he was in house arrest, he was chained to another Roman soldier. And so that Roman soldier all throughout his day would hear his prayers. He would hear him reading scripture. He would hear him as he's talking through his letters to the Corinthians and so on. There's so much gospel that they would be getting. It was quite the opportunity. Now, if Paul had simply gone door to door to give the gospel, these men would not have listened. and thought about even what was being said. They would have laughed and scorned Paul. But when they are chained to the man day in and day out and they hear his daily encouragements and the message of salvation, what a beautiful testimony that they received, and what an opportunity. Now, I believe that it is vitally important for us to look at this in the right light, by the right perspective. Because you and I may just have an opportunity like this in the future. And if we see this as an attack, as simply persecution, or even as being unfair, our minds will be locked on anger and frustration and centered on how we can avoid being stuck in this situation altogether. But if it is not an attack, but an opportunity to share Christ, our minds will be set on using every moment to be loving, to be kind, to share, and to model Christ so that others can see our testimony, and we can proclaim the one who is giving us the strength to help us through the unexpected. Now remember, if our purpose in life is to glorify ourselves, to save our own skin, to be as comfortable as we want to be, then we will never think about these things as an opportunity to bring glory to God. We have to remember what our purpose in life is. Now, our prayer through these opportunities should not be, "Lord, save me," but it should be, "Lord, please draw people to you regardless of what happens to me." And I want you to think about that, because that is a very different perspective than what the world or even the average Christian teaches us today. So many times when we are stuck in a trial or a circumstance, yes, we can call out to the Lord to help us and to encourage us. And oftentimes our number one perspective is what? It's on ourselves. We're shouting out, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to get out of this situation. I don't want to be in it." But if God put us in that situation in the first place to help us to grow to be more like Him, or to help us to be engaged with the people and the circumstances that we're in order for people to see Christ, then it's not going to help anything if I'm just working every moment to call out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, save me." Instead, I should be saying, "Lord, please draw people to you. Lord, please use this opportunity for me to bring glory to you." We need to have the right perspective as we have these kind of opportunities. Now, Paul wrote about this kind of opportunity in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. He says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." All right, look with me at verse 19. Jesus continues and he says, "But they," speaking of those people, those men that you may run into that aren't there to help you, "but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Now, Jesus is giving the disciples some hope that they don't need to anticipate what may come. They don't need to dwell in their imagination about what might or what might never happen. Instead, just be faithful, and God will be good. Now, the Holy Spirit will give the disciples the exact words to say in every situation. And I think this is a great application for us today, too, because there are many times that we think about something that's coming up. Maybe it's a doctor's appointment that's coming up, and we're wondering what's going to happen and what's going on. And we create in our mind all of these possibilities, and those possibilities very quickly turn to worry. And sometimes regret, and sometimes all these different things that are just adding extra anxiety and such to our plates. And by the time that we actually get to the doctor's appointment, it's nothing as actually of anything that we had imagined. And the problem is we create too much anxiety, too much worry, too many other problems for ourselves when we're thinking about the what ifs. What if this happens, or what if that happens? But we shouldn't be thinking and dwelling so much on what may happen. We just need to let the Lord have control and let him take care of the situation. And here, the Holy Spirit is going to give the disciples the exact words to say in every situation. Now, do you ever draw a blank when someone asks you an important question? I've done this many times. Your mind just empties out. Or maybe right before you're taking a test, your whole mind just empties of everything that you've learned. Well, we don't have to worry about what to say when the opportunity arises. We just need to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit within us to direct us. Now, whether we are standing before a police officer or in front of a judge for the crime of teaching the gospel, whether we are standing before an enemy soldier, or whether we are simply standing on the sidewalk talking to someone about their eternal destination, we don't need to fear about not having the words to say. We just need to trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit that what he determines is the right thing. So the Lord both gives us the strength and gives us the words to say. We are merely a vessel for him. John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now, the moment that we need the words and we come up empty, we can always pray to the Lord and he will provide what needs to be said, what's most important, and God will give them to us. Now, there's a key understanding that we really need to embrace if we are going to be prepared to share what the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, understand this. The Holy Spirit uses what's in our hearts to proclaim the gospel. That means that we need to put something in our hearts in order for him to use it. Now, the Holy Spirit may reveal to our minds a truth that is within us, but has not been yet fully realized. However, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us to truth that we do not already have. Now, in that moment that we need it most, the Holy Spirit will not guide us in our mind to a scripture passage that we have not read and studied. He will not guide us to an aspect of Christ's nature that we have not learned. In order for the Holy Spirit to have truth to share, we need to have that truth already within us. Now, again, that means that we need to prepare now for the opportunities that may come, whether it is standing before a judge or a ruler of some kind, or even another person at the grocery store that needs to hear the gospel. We need to prepare now for what we might face today. And how do we get prepared? Well, we need to start filling up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We need to fill our minds and our hearts continually with God's word, and we need to abide in the word of God, meaning that we live by it and it lives within us. We take our thoughts, our feelings, and the unknown in our hearts, and we compare that with scripture. We dump the bad and we replace it with the good of God's word, and we instill that into our minds and meditate on it until it is written on our hearts. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 says, "I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one." And we need to be regularly filling up with God's word and understanding it. But there is something else that we really need to do. We need to get into the practice of listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, in our study of God's word, we can pray to the Holy Spirit and ask him to guide us to scripture passages that grow us in our understanding of Christ, and he will guide us. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us in our study of God to draw our attention to things that we need in our mind to help us and to prepare for the future. All we need to do is ask of him and be patient as he helps us in our study time. He wants us to be fully prepared as we need to be. But if we are not in the practice of listening to the Holy Spirit's direction, we are going to have a hard time in hearing his helps. Now, I recently received a phone call from an unknown number, and it looked like it was a local number, and I picked it up, and without the person on the other end of the phone identifying themselves, I knew instantly who it was. It was my wife. She was calling me from a landline, and I knew it was her right away because I am so used to hearing her voice. I'm used to hearing her voice first thing in the morning when I wake up. I'm used to hearing her voice in the afternoon as I speak with her. I'm used to hearing her voice at night while we're getting ready for bed. There are so many times that I hear her voice. It's so very familiar to me. But Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Holy Spirit's voice should be so familiar to us because we are constantly listening. We have our ears constantly in tune with the sound of his voice, with the understanding of his nudging or guidance that the moment he suggests something that we know how to respond. And we need to get familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that as we need guidance and direction, as we need the words to say, we know who we are listening to. Now, the problem is that in life, we have three different voices that vie for our attention. We have the voice of the enemy, the deceiver, who we know of as Satan. We have the voice of our own flesh that works against the will of God and tries to get us to do its will instead of God's. And then we have the voice of the Holy Spirit, who guides and directs us to know and follow God's perfect plan for our lives. Now, Satan, the deceiver, his voice comes in the form of temptations to our minds. He suggests by planting something that our natural sinful desires want, and then he keeps planting ideas to see if we'll follow them. Now, our own flesh, that natural bit of us that has sinful tendencies, reminds us through thoughts about what it wants. Sometimes it grows those temptations that come in from Satan, and other times those thoughts are demands on what we need most. Now, the Holy Spirit, the part of God that lives within the hearts of gospel believers, speaks through guiding our minds back to God's word and through godly wisdom. Now, the Holy Spirit's guiding will never ever contradict the scripture. And we know we are being led by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit when it aligns with the wisdom of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 reminds us that we can quench the Holy Spirit, meaning that we can ignore him so much that his voice and his leading gets smaller and smaller, and our own voice and desires and even Satan's get louder and louder. Now imagine for a moment that you have a radio, or we could say your smartphone, playing music loudly. If you were to take a cardboard box and set it over your device, what would happen is it would get muffled and it would get quieter. And sometimes even it would sound kind of distorted, not from the source, but we would have trouble understanding what is being communicated from it because of the muffling of the box. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. He is within you. So he should have a very loud voice, but the more and more that we ignore his leading, the quieter and quieter he becomes, and the less that we are able to even understand how he is leading us. Now, who needs the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives? We all do. We will always be led by someone or something, whether it's ourselves or our culture, or someone in a relationship or an idea, something or someone will always lead us. We need to be led by godly wisdom, and we can only do that through being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, let's finish today off with verses 21 through 22. Jesus continues and says, "Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Now we see here plenty of people who are not being influenced by the Holy Spirit, but are being influenced by Satan, the deceiver. Now people in their own families, when they accept Christ, will put them to death because of the leading of Satan. This happens all the time in Muslim cultures. If you convert to Christianity, you can be murdered by a Muslim, and they see this as holy because their minds are being deceived by the deceiver, Satan. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, speaking of Satan, he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Even though others may hate you because of the growing love that you have for Jesus Christ, do not turn your back on God. Remember, our life's purpose is to what? It is to bring glory to God. Now, the Christian life is not the comfortable life here on earth. God wants us to be used for His glory so that others will come to know His truth. People hate what is good and what is lovely and what is pure and what is holy, and they hate these things because they are being led by deception from the deceiver. But notice again what Jesus said in verse 22. He said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Don't forget that. He who endures to the end will be saved. Now, this one word, endure, is key in our Christian life. This is what Jesus is calling on his disciples to do, and this is what Jesus is calling on his disciples of this day and age today to do. Even if your friends turn against you, even if your own family is persecuting you for knowing and living out Jesus Christ, even if everyone around you is screaming to do the opposite, and even if your own flesh is telling you to give up, that life with Jesus is not worth it, Jesus calls us to endure. Now, the word endure means two very specific things: to suffer patiently and to remain in existence. We could say to remain in existence regardless of the suffering. To remain. And I know some of that two things kind of come to mind when I think about to remain. Many people today, when they just don't want to deal with all the things that are happening in the world, they turn to drugs or they turn to alcohol. They turn to something where they can escape. God's not calling us to escape this world. He's calling us to evangelize this world. He's calling us to do what we can to live for Him, even though we are in this world. So we are not to escape to something else, something that's going to draw our attention away from the Lord. Number two, we're not to escape by committing early death to ourselves, by committing suicide and leaving this earth, even though we know we have the promised heaven on the other side and it'd be so much easier if we just leave. God is not calling us to do that. He's calling us to remain in existence. Number three, He's calling us to remain in existence as a Christian, as a gospel believer. Don't give up being a gospel believer. Don't just stay where you are either. Keep learning and keep understanding what it means to love God and to know God and to understand all that He is. Continue learning it so that others can see Christ in you more and more. We have to remain in existence regardless of the suffering. And for those that do, when they get to the end, when they get to heaven, they will be saved. They will be taken care of. God is going to make sure that you are rewarded for staying faithful to enduring. And I know that there are times that is so hard to endure, to continue on. And yet Jesus here tells us that those who endure to the end will be saved. He will not let us down. He will take care of us if we follow Him and continue following Him until the end. Now, our purpose is to bring glory to the Lord with our lives. And we do that by enduring. Do not give up. Give your problems and your sorrows and your hardships to Jesus. Leave it at His feet and then keep moving forward. And I'm going to say this again. It may be hard to endure, okay? But it is completely worth it. God never calls us to have an easy life. For those preachers out there who are preaching that God calls you to an easy life, give Him a little bit of money, give Him your attention and so on, and you're just going to have the best life ever, and you're not going to have any problems or any sorrows and so on, that is a false religion. It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. God doesn't call us to have an easy life. He does promise that He will be there with us as we go through life. And He will promise, and He has promised throughout His Scripture, that He will take care of us and He will see to our needs and He will help us. But He also tells us that our purpose in life is to glorify Him. And He may use us in ways that we never expected to be used before, something that we didn't have listed out on our list of most comfortable ways to live life. He may want us to go through some very specific trials and circumstances and even live a different kind of lifestyle than what we were ever expecting to be. But he promises that throughout those things, he will take care of us. And again, for those who endure until the end, they will be saved. Following Christ is completely worth it. I would encourage you today to not give up. Don't put your mind and your focus on what you can get most out of the situation of loving and knowing God. Instead, put your focus on the fact that your purpose here in life is to bring God glory. And come back and say, hey, I know I need to be listening to the Holy Spirit's direction so that I can continue to know what God wants for my life so I can bring God glory. And I know that I need to endure, I need to grow in my Christian life, and I need to keep moving forward so that I can bring God glory. That is our purpose in life, to continue to bring God glory through glorifying Him by getting to know Him more and by following the way that He wants us to follow Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Holy Father, I pray for us today, for those who are listening, tuning in, and here, Lord God, I pray that you would build our hearts, build our minds, build our understanding of you. Lord, we thank you that we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. For all gospel believers, we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we can listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can listen to the guiding direction of the Holy Spirit as He guides us through Scripture, as He helps us in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would make the understanding of the Holy Spirit louder in the ears of those who are listening today. Allow His direction in the building in our lives louder. Make His voice the loudest voice over the direction of Satan or over the direction of the flesh or over anyone else in our lives. I also pray, Lord, for the people today that they would learn to endure, that they wouldn't give up, that they wouldn't give up on the Christian life, that they wouldn't give up on God, that they wouldn't turn their backs on God and just decide to do something else with their lives. Lord, I pray that they would turn to you through every circumstance, especially the most difficult and hard circumstances, and that they would pray to you and cry out to you and leave it with you. Leave it at your feet as you tell us to do. Just leave those anger moments, those frustrating times, those circumstances of life that just tear us down. Leave them with you and let you take care of them. And Lord God, help us to trust in you more. Help us to bring you glory in everything that we do and say in this life. And I pray this week that we would go out, that we would rejoice in you, and that we'd really just study your word. Study, 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 and fill ourselves with your word so that we can go out and praise your name and understand you even more as you are growing your word in our hearts. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.